When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I knew it. Another Herdat Media production.
All right, welcome to today's episode. I mean, I followed this guy for about 2 years now, and I'm super excited to have him on my podcast today. You've all seen his stuff on Instagram. He goes under the name of Blacksmith, or like I'm going to say it, Blacksmith, B-L-C-K-S-M-T-H. His name is Mike Schneider. I'm so excited to have him here today. Mike, thank you so much for coming on. I have so many questions.
That's like, so kind. Many questions I appreciate it. I do well with questions. I don't know if I necessarily do well just like talking and chatting on my own, because I told you already, people have different interpretations of how they read my artist name, which didn't even, there's an interesting story behind that. That didn't even start with my artist name. But I block so many people on social media that some people have started calling me Blocksmith. And I'm okay with that. that's boundary
set. Did I say it right?
You did. Yeah. Blacksmith is right. But Blocksmith, I kind of like that. Reputation for blocking a lot of people isn't that. So I'll take it.
I block a few myself. if there was enough letters, maybe you could make that into a license plate. I mean, I did it years ago as Chef Stu, C-H-F-S-T-U. I got so much shit for it, I had to get it changed. People were sending like photographs to my boyfriend at the time, and it was just like everybody knew where I was in town. It was crazy. I thought it was a cute thing, not so cute. As I start off with every week or every show, what's doing this week? What happened to you last week? Is there anything that you want to get off your chest? I have something. I'll go first, and then you can tell me yours. So Friday night, so basically I've been spending so much money on Ubers and Lyfts, as I feel like a lot of people that do, that go out, they have dinners, they drink and so forth. So you do the responsible thing,
the
right?
responsible thing, yeah.
Of course. And so there's a thing about the different classes of Ubers, like you have your Uber X, and then you have Uber Black and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I've like, the last few months, I've just been getting like Uber Black. Now, not the SUV, like the big SUV that comes a lot in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. Just like, maybe it's a Lexus, maybe it's a BMW or whatever, right?
Yeah. They're
just nicer. It's a bit more expensive, but I just end up spending like, I think I clocked it like between $200 and $300 over a weekend. It's just too crazy. It's fucking too much, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, do you know what? I'm going to cut back. I'm going to like go for like the Uber X or the general Uber or the general Lyft, and they're like sure. 10 to 15 bucks, right?
Sure, yeah.
So, I've dinner Friday night. I'm like, uh-huh. You know what? It's in Beverly Hills. Usually costs about 30 bucks to get over there. I'm going to do it for 15. Mm-hmm. So I book it. I get in the car.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, I don't know if Carney Wilson was in the car before me, because it smelled like farts. I swear to God, like I'm like, oh my God, thank God I put on Tom Ford before we started the trip. Because I just had my shirt like this the whole way.
Oh, no.
And the backstory with the Cardi Wilson thing, she talks about farting all the time.
Oh, okay.
On radio, on podcasts and stuff. So it's like it's a good inside joke. But but that's what you get. That's what I get for like doing a cheap Uber. No, it was disgusting. It was so bad.
As somebody who got rid of their car, and yes, this is totally a flex, in 2015, I ride my bike a lot, but I take a lot of Lyfts and Ubers for friends and plans that are like further out from my sphere, or, you know, it rains once or twice in Portland. I don't like biking in the rain. So, so I'll take that out. And I swear that option that you have on the more expensive ones, and you know, somebody's totally going to like, be like, that's classist. But the options, you have options for some of like the Lyft, like comfort and things like that, where you can choose like, oh, I'll need help with luggage, which like I never do. I can get all that myself.
Yeah.
Or I want a quiet ride. and I always want a quiet ride.
I never select that option. And not that I want to talk to the person. I just like always forget. I feel like it's fucking rude if I was to do that.
It does feel a little rude. It does feel a little bitchy to be like quiet ride.
Yeah. Don't talk to me. So I just
kind of I think it would be better if maybe they installed a partition in between the back seat and the front seat. And you can just click a button and it just like slowly goes up in the mid-sentence. They're like in mid-sentence and it just goes up.
But I mean, it's just the guy was like fucking farting up a storm in the car before I got in. It smells like, you know, like a casserole in there. Because I guess these guys, like the drivers are in their car all day. They probably eat, they live there, like, and so forth.
It could have been the driver before you. Something that I do have to get off my chest.
Yes.
A really, really dear friend of mine, has a get together. And he keeps everyone in the salon is going to see this, and they're totally going to send this link to him.
That's great.
He keeps creating a new text thread every time he wants to talk to us. And it's the same like seven or eight people who are on this thread who, and he has an iPhone. He can add people to it. He can subtract people from it if people don't want to come to the salon that week, or if they do want to come. He'll every time he wants to communicate to us, if it's like, you know, a salon coming up or a new salon, he'll create a new text thread. And people are still responding to the original text threads. And so I have like three or four, and I've only been going to the salon. I'll probably be disinvited from the salon.
Yeah.
I've only been going into the salon for like a month or two. It's lovely. It's wonderful. I've hosted it once. It's just a wonderful group of people. That's like my disclaimer, because I'm all
sure.
but every time I love him so much, but he texts like my mom texts, and she's also going to see this too. So I'm just basically alienated Amber.
Everyone's going to hate you after this podcast.
Exactly. After this. Yeah.
Doesn't stay in the same one. He thinks he has to create a new one every time.
Then there's a new like lost and found thread, and I'm just like posted in the same thread.
Oh, Jesus.
Just find the same thread. I get it. Not everyone is as phone savvy as some of us who like live our lives on our phones and, you know, run our businesses through social media.
Yeah.
Maybe we're a little more like savvy about our phones than other people. It drives me bonkers, and it makes me feel a lot better that I got that off my chest too.
That's good. If someone did that to me, I just would like delete them. I just like, just like, I've stay on one fucking tread.
Don't even activate my pettiness.
I'm definitely going to talk about it. And I messaged you and I'm like, please, Jesus. So Taylor Swift's new album came out on Thursday.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about it, because there's a lot of stuff like going on with it. I'm a super fan. I'm not a super fan. I'm a fan. I guess
I'm a fan.
I
don't know. I'm a huge fan.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan.
And also, like, I've been called like the Taylor Swift of balloons, just because I talk about like narcissists and breakups and stuff like that in my messages. And that's a compliment. Like, that's not trolling me. I'll take that compliment. I hope her social media accounts don't follow anyone.
I secretly
hope that she has like this little burner account that's like following me somewhere, and that she's a fan, and that she knows that I'm a fan of hers.
And I'm going to get to that as well. Like, I'm going to get to that in a minute. I'm going to have a question with your balloon walls.
I'm loving certain tracks. It always takes me a little bit. Even Cowboy Carter, I know everyone's comparing the two. It's not a comparison.
I'm really enjoying it so far. It's taken me a minute to get down to the second album, the second release or whatever, because it's 31 songs.
Do you have your favorites?
I do. My favorite. Oh God, I wrote them down here. My favorites are.
I had to save them on my Spotify playlist.
Okay, number three, Tortured Poets Department. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll dive deeper into that.
Number two, I Can Do It With a Broken Heart.
Same. Nicely done.
So fucking sad.
Just the title alone, that could be 4 minutes of her just like making fart noises, and I would love it just for the title alone.
Like, so, I'm miserable doing this podcast, but like, you know, I'm putting on a brave face. and the number one is Down Bad. I just love the flow of it.
Okay. I mean, we've got one intersection there. Thank You, Amy is so good. So good.
I need to go back into it a few more times.
It stands up to repeat it. And that's the second album. So it stands out to repeated, repeated listenings. And it does make me feel like weirdly, sadly nostalgic for like people who people earlier in my life who didn't articulate their love in quite the way that would be healthy for me now.
Yeah.
But that was what I needed then. Gotcha. Thank you, Amy. It's so good. So Long London. That was one
great song
of left field. And I was like, oh. And also, I can't help it. It's related to call London it what Boy.
You want. Or no. Yeah. But it sounds like call it what you want.
Mm-hmm. Beginning. Yeah. I wish there was a little more space. And this is just me and how I digest albums and how sometimes my relationship with like a musical artist is it's time is measured geologically, where I just need space in between albums. And she just had released 1989. Right? Yeah, she just did Taylor's version. And so I was very deep in still falling back in love with those songs again.
Yeah, me too.
Because that was, what, 2015, I think?
Yeah.
And that
and the
was
four like, tracks at the end are great as well.
Oof, yeah. Was that the Vault ones?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I haven't dove into those yet because
is it over now? Is it like the best song ever?
Okay, I'm gonna get back in there then. Thank you for that.
But here's what I wanted to talk about, and a lot of the Swifties are kind of pissed off with her right now, because and I kind of understand it as well. So she brought out the album. She brought out four different ones. And so she would trickle them down. You get these emails from Taylor Nation like, hey, the Manuscript album dropped. Hey, the Albatross album dropped. Hey, the Black Dog, pre-order now. The Masquerade. So she's four different colored albums. And each album had a bonus track at the end of each one, right? You following me?
Is it like vinyl?
Correct.
Okay. Correct. Okay. So vinyl. I think I did hear about this.
Yeah. So there's a bonus track. So you had to buy all four to get this extra bonus track at the end of each one. So you know the diehard Swifties are buying all four.
Yeah. And
then you have the one at Target, which is the clear vinyl, which is the one I got. It's nice. Right there, which is actually kind of cool. I think it's actually pretty.
I think that's really cool. Yeah.
I didn't buy four others. So there's five albums in total, which is insane. Mm-hmm. But here's the issue. So all these kids, fans, all these albums are on the way to their houses, all that kind of stuff, on the day of release.
Yeah.
She drops it that night. She drops album one that night. Two hours later, she drops album two that has all those bonus tracks on it.
Oh.
Do you know what I mean? So that. Now you're kind of fucked. Like, you're like, I spent $120 to get these four extra tracks, and she drops a second album, which has all those tracks on it, on Spotify and Apple or wherever.
That is
it's kind of like greedy, I think.
If I was totally Team Taylor until she released it on Spotify. Yeah. Just knowing all of this, I'd seen rumblings of it, and I didn't really do a deep dive online to see what it was about. And so I was with her. Like if she wants to release one track on a bonus track on each album, people are consumers. They're not entitled to her creativity or her output. So they can choose to buy those or not. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I do that with an artist, I'm like, I whether it's 2 cents an album going into their pocket, I'm like, I'm supporting them somehow.
Sure.
This is eventually going to support them. This is like, I'm not on Patreon. Obviously, Taylor doesn't need money.
Yeah,
but I do that with any artist who releases like exclusive things like this, where I just view it as like I'm helping that artist. I'm supporting that artist in some way. I'm putting my money where my mouth is. I'm not just paying for like a Spotify subscription. But that seems not great. And if I was someone in her circle, which I'm not, I would just be like, walk me through that. Walk me through that thought process.
I think, exactly. It's kind of like, because she's alluding to the fact that these four extra songs will not be released. That's the shitty part.
That's the definition of a bonus track.
Yeah,
it is. The definition of a bonus track.
Because like, that's why like each, like the Albatross was one song, the Black Dog was another song, the Manuscript was another song, and the Masquerade was another song. The Target one had the Manuscript bonus track. So it was kind of like whatever, but it was the clear vinyl that you got.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's what's out there. I think it was, I want to say it's more of the record label that's doing this and not her, but who knows?
Yeah.
You still like
I probably, but also like her whole thing is getting more control over her own music.
Sure.
So I think she's successfully done that, even in the creation of, you know, the Taylor's versions of these.
Yeah.
So I have to believe that at some point this choice was presented to her.
Yeah, of course.
But also, you know, people learn. And so I am hopeful she won't do this again. This is like when you're really, really trying hard to believe, like in somebody's heart that you don't know at all. I'm like, please learn from this.
Lesson learned. Wait till she releases everything and then and then buy her stuff.
Yes, exactly. Lesson learned. Exactly.
Okay, we're going to get to the main topic because, I mean, you're here for a reason. Well, I brought you here for a reason and I want to know. I have so many questions. So, first of all, what do you call your art installations? Are they balloon walls before we even get into it?
That's a good question. I would say they're, and you know, what's funny is I didn't start with the balloons. I've always been obsessed with typography and like Jenny Holzer and Barbara Kruger, like the typographic greats, and you see their pieces in museums and Jenny Holzer in particular is just so creative and just varies it up, changes it up, what she puts out there. And so I think I did the flower petals first, even before balloons.
Uh-huh.
And I'll always call myself a typographic artist, but obviously the balloons have really, really gone bonkers. They've gone crazy in 2020.
I don't know when I started following you. It's been a few years, but I used to always I'm like, oh my God, I love this guy. I love the quotes. Like, they really resonate with me and stuff. And then I was like, I used to think they were photoshopped. I just thought there was like a really good Photoshop that was like, that was done. And I think I even like sent you a message one day, even asking you, and you were like, no, it's real. And, excuse me. And, but anyway, they're not, it is real.
Yeah.
So, how did this start?
The flowers, it was me just being obsessed with typographic art.
Right.
And I spelled like a short quotes and a few letters at a time. And it was just like single words. And I would, you know, go to the Dollar Tree near me and where I still get my flowers from. And buy, you know, 20 or 40 bucks and just walk out of there with an armful full of fake flowers. And then just pop all the blossoms off and spell things with that.
And for people listening, just to slightly interrupt you there, BLCKSMTH.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's go follow him on Instagram.
On most social media. Yeah.
Go follow him so you can see these crazy installations are awesome.
Thank you.
Sorry, continue.
That was really fun. And another aspect of my art has always been making fun of social media tropes.
Yes.
Like, you know, an endless parade of selfies. And that's why I'm in a lot of them myself. And just different tropes. I think my first viral hit was something that was called Boxwine Boyfriend, which I built this fake boyfriend out of empty boxes of wine that I used to like self-medicate myself after a bad breakup.
Yeah.
And we just like took pictures and staged photos all over the neighborhood, just doing silly things. And it went bonkers viral. And it was sort of a send up on the performative nature of online relationships. When you're in a relationship with someone and you start like taking pictures with them, and then, you know, people see you're in a relationship and they follow you, or they keep following you for the breakup. Then you stop seeing that person in the person's photos and speculate like, what's up?
You're like, are they broken up? Should I reach out? Like, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It took that sort of trope and sort of turned it on its head. And so I always wanted to use the balloons, which you see in social media all the time, in wedding announcements and engagements and birthdays and children's birthdays.
I did them at the Super Bowl, at our Super Bowl party. We got the exact ones that you use.
You sent me photos.
You did see them. Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. So it was like,
was it Bam Bam? Something gang, whatever, bam, bam, something gang. Yeah, for San Francisco.
Yeah, whatever it was. It was cute. And so I started out with short phrases in those, and you know, I did them occasionally. They were great. I loved the contrast between either, biting social justice commentary or very serious mental health quotes spelled in these, like, silly balloons. I loved that contrast.
Yeah.
And I did them, and I had sort of like a good like back catalog of them every you know,
yeah,
couple weeks I would make one. And then it wasn't until May of 2020, and I think two celebrities in particular, there was one post that was like an anti-Trump post.
Yeah.
And then there was another one that had to do with dating or mental health. And those both got shared by celebrities and then just reshared. And there was a few days there in that week in May of 2020, I couldn't even open my Instagram app. It just wouldn't, tons of people were interacting, and it was really, really amazing. And it's just so gratifying as an artist, especially somebody who is in a certain stage of his life, you know, moved here thinking, okay, this is the end. Like, I want to be an artist and I'll do that on the side of my day job, my sort of retail operations career. And it's so gratifying to know that after I left LA, thinking that I was like, you know, coming to Portland, the place where young people go to retire.
Yeah.
That's when it blew up. And then that also proved you don't have to be anywhere. LA and New York are great, but we live our lives online and we consume
content, you can be anywhere.
Online, and we can meet people anywhere.
Yeah,
this is a great example right now.
Exactly.
You can talk to and meet anyone anywhere. And so I think LA and New York have done a great job, you know, gaslighting a lot of people into thinking that they're the only place that you can be successful.
1,000%. I totally agree with you on that.
Anywhere. And so I just think that it's a great validation that people love it, that they get the joke, that it's ironic. That it's serious messages spelled in balloons. Sometimes it's funny messages spelled in balloons too, but I think the contrast of the serious messages and the funny material, you know, now that I am 3-4 years out of 2020, when everything blew up, I finally quit my day job last year in October.
I know, I saw that. Congratulations.
Now, thank you. And now I'm at age 50, I'm living my best life.
Yeah.
Like I love my life right now. I'm a full-time artist. I mean, like, there's nothing for me to complain about. I love my life.
And it is really nice following your account. It's so like joyous, and it's like nice, and it's fun, and it's like it's just you're having a good time, and everybody working with you is having a good time. So it's I'm going to fly up there one day. We're going to do one of these walls with me. I don't know. I'm dying to. Like, I'm literally, it's like a bucket list thing now.
We're gonna do it this year. This is gonna be the year we do it.
Were people like, when you left Louis Vuitton, like, were they like, oh my God, what are you doing? Like, people around you, like, were they in support of the big change? Were they like, oh my God, you're crazy? Like what was just a general kind of feel?
What is funny, and I don't think I regret it, although I hear a couple of them still resent me for it. My coworkers didn't know. Only the management knew. And that was deliberate, because I just don't... Despite evidence to the contrary, I don't like being the center of attention.
Yeah.
So at least my coworkers kind of knew that someday that was going to happen. Mm-hmm. They definitely kept me grounded. I still love and miss them, and I still hang with a few of them. And my other friends were just kind of like, I'm surprised you hadn't done this yet. And I couldn't. I think there's this perception that the online success equaled this, like, you know, stream of income that was livable.
Yeah.
And for a few years it wasn't. There's no correlation between being famous or well known and making a living off of it.
Yeah.
There's zero correlation. If you're lucky, there's correlation. So it was this thing of like, well, why didn't you do it before? Well, I had to figure out what I was going to do with my healthcare. I mean, this is anything, like, not even leaving your full-time job.
No, of course.
So leaving your full-time job to be an entrepreneur, or to, you know, do a startup or something like that. Like, it could be anything where, I needed a day job for the insurance and to pay the bills and to have that stable income. And it's also funny, when I lived in LA for like 12 years. My last couple of years of that, I was with this wonderful theater company, Sacred Fools Theater Company. And that really awoke the creative spark in me. And I credit them a lot for my creative upbringing. But I was always in awe of the actors, even the successful actors there, how they would do that and how they would live a freelance life. And they'd book like one commercial in like February and then not work the rest of the year. And I'm like, how the hell do you do that?
I still ask that question every day. I call it like, what do I call it? Like, the Like, I call it like the Starbucks lifestyle, I used to call it, because you would see these fuckers at like 11 a.m. on like a Monday or Tuesday, enjoying life with like a laptop. And I'm like, you're not writing a screenplay.
Like, what are you doing? Exactly. It was
to drive me crazy.
I worked in retail and we would see the patterns and we'd have like a crazy Tuesday or Wednesday afternoon. And I'm like, why aren't they at their job? Like, go get a job.
That's Justin. Awesome. Yeah. So funny. Like, I was writing up these questions yesterday and I came across Mel Robbins, right? And I actually had written down these questions like, hey, were people in support of you changing your lifestyle and all, and going, you know, jumping off the cliff and doing what you really love to do. And I just wrote these down. I just thought they were great. It's like, when you change, do not expect other people to join in on the changes. It's personal and they do not change unless they want to. Then the second one is, do not expect people to like the changes that you are making. Just focus on you. I thought they were great. I just thought those two were awesome.
That's so great. I love that.
Of course, I had to pick out my top three of your balloon walls.
Awesome. Thank you.
And just, these are just kind of like, they hit home for me.
Okay.
So first one, manipulation is when they blame you for your reaction to their disrespect. Mm-hmm. Classic.
Yeah. That was a great one. That was a Daniel Chidiac quote.
Your trauma is not your fault, but it is your responsibility. And number three, that's a good, I love that. It's like, figure your shit out. Like, stop putting your shit on me.
Like, I should just do one that says that.
Yeah, like that's probably going to be my one. Number three, you're not allowed to miss me if you're the reason we don't talk anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's like, what
those
a scream.
Those are true. Those are true.
I love them, though.
Accused by somebody, probably on Twitter, which is just like, you know, a hellscape anyway. But I was accused by somebody of some of them coming off really like bossy or condescending. And I'm like, you know, my inner voice maybe is that. Like, maybe the balloons do come off that way. And they do speak in absolutes. But I think it would also be different if I followed my own advice in balloons. And I don't follow my own advice.
I shouldn't be reading these balloons and going like, oh, okay, that happened to me. Okay, great.
We can enjoy the quotes, but then we just don't apply them to our lives.
Is there one that's your absolute fave? Like one quote that, or like installation that's your favorite?
No. And that surprises people to hear. No, that's not true. I wouldn't say the quote itself was anything remarkable. But there was one time, actually last year, it was pretty recently. And I wish I could remember the quote. It was another Daniel Chidiac quote, and it was one about narcissists.
I know which one it is.
Yeah.
Narcissists only get angry from something that they absolutely did. Nobody gets angrier than a narcissist that's been accused of something they definitely did.
Yeah.
Just before we wrap up, we want to talk about the book. Okay, next week, your book comes out. And I want to call it like, what, a small coffee table book?
I face the choice of like, do I want a coffee table book? Do I want like a small book? And I think a coffee table book is great, like for vanity purposes. And that'll probably happen later in my career. But this one is just, it looks massive in the screen right now. It's just like a little like thin tome. It's 14 of my favorites and a couple new ones that nobody has seen before.
Oh, nice.
And it just tells a little story about each category. We sort of put them into different categories. And it's wonderful to give as a gift. It's also wonderful to like subtweet one and being like, maybe you should read this. But it's also just like a little sort of introduction, a little slice of some of my favorite installations and the messages that I think are the most universal. So I'm really excited about it. I'm thrilled about it. It's my first book and there's nothing, no feeling that compares to like opening up that box and taking this out for the first time.
I've had that feeling. It's amazing. The book is called Putting Balloons on a Wall. Putting Balloons on a Wall is not a book. That's the title of the book. Inspirational advice and non-advice. I love it. I think it's great.
Thank you.
My order.
That was actually something a troll wrote. I love monetizing.
Oh, trolls. Really?
So that's something, putting balloons on a wall is not art. is something that a troll wrote on one of my installations, probably like 2 or 3 years ago. I don't remember who. I just usually just, you know, block. But it made an impression on me of like, oh, I want to make something out of that. So it's ironic that the name of my first book is taken from that. And I've done a couple installations myself that say that exact phrase.
From these haters or whatever.
Is not art. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Look, Mike, thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you for having me.
No, I just have been wonderful. Such a fan of, like, I have to get this balloon guy on my podcast.
Oh, you're so kind. I'm a fan of yours too. So,
oh my God, thank you.
This was so wonderful.
Everybody, next Tuesday, his book, pre-order it right now. Go to Amazon or go follow Blacksmith, BLCKSMTH. On Instagram, he has a link in there that links to his book too. You can find it on Amazon, you can put Barnes & Noble everywhere. Putting Balloons on a Wall is not a book. That is the title. Mike, I can't wait to get it. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Stu. This was wonderful.